That's all right. Usually. Well, it's good to see each one of you today, as it is each Sunday, and thank you for being here. Thank you for continuing to grow together. It's neat to see our body growing together and strength and numbers, and we just really appreciate all that each of you do throughout the week. Thank you for your prayers for Chuck and Andy and I as we prepare for Sunday morning. We couldn't do that without you, and you're as big a part of this as we are, and so it's just our job to reveal this word and to teach the way the word says to do it. So hopefully we will continue to do that, but I just wanted to say thank you for your prayers this week. They're definitely felt. We're going to continue to focus today on scripture application. That's what I think we've been doing over the last several weeks, is applying this scripture that we have knowledge of and making sure that we're living it out in our life so that the people around us can see it, that He has made us different. The Bible, we know, and James says the faith without works is dead, so if we just want to take in stuff and we don't ever live it out, it's really not true faith, is it? So I want to continue to stress that to myself and to you as we live our daily lives, that we live it the way He wants us to live it. I want to begin today by reviewing a couple of things from last week that Chuck did a masterful job at putting together. I didn't bring the fancy bag that had the L on it that was so carefully packaged in last week, Chuck. I don't think you're qualified for the Bible school crafts because we've got sharp edges on this thing. But the more I thought about, seriously, the more I thought about this contraption that Chuck has built here, he and I, we talked about this a lot 2 weeks ago and how you could actually make these valves and stuff work right. And, you know, like he said last week, every analogy breaks down at some point. But as I thought about this week, I just wanted to review. It's a great visual. How many of you were not here last week? Okay, so you have no idea what this is, okay? All right. And someone said to get that thing away so you don't pop all the time. Is that better? Can you hear me okay? All right, so quickly, I just wanted to do a quick review of this. And today's sermon, really, I want you to go back and think about before you were saved, okay? The condition that you were in before you were saved. And we're going to go through that process today of what happened. And I want you to come to a point where you are very, very thankful for what God has done if you aren't. I want you just to revisit what He revisits for us today in Colossians. But, you know, as Chuck said last week, we get a visual here of when God saved us, He took the cap off and of our lives, and He allows the Holy Spirit to flow through us, and He... I'll get it. Caps this thing of the flesh from backflowing into our lives. As long as the Spirit's flowing through, I didn't see it over there last week. The trees, we know we have problems with the trees up here. Nobody can see us over the trees. But so the Spirit is flowing through, and out of that, as long as we let the Spirit of God flow through us, because He does say we can do what? We can quench the Spirit, doesn't He? We can kind of turn that valve off. And how do we do that? Well, we do it whenever the flesh, our sin, our life gets full of sin, or we choose to sin, and it keeps that Spirit of God from flowing through us the way He wants us to produce this thing of sanctification and a submitted life in Christ. So thank you, Chuck, for this wonderful... We're going to keep this around. We may need to use this some more. But Chuck, no crafts in Bible school this year. we must access this Spirit all the time. Okay? It's our job. He flows. He put it in us. It's there and it's flowing strong. And the only thing that we do most of the time is we will quench it. We will allow sin to come into our life and stop it up. And boy, when we do that, we sure notice a difference, don't we? Okay? Our actions, our life doesn't really become indicative of Him flowing through us like it should. So reading and studying the Word of God gives us knowledge and how to react obediently to His will as that Spirit flows through us. If you go to your notes there, we're going to quickly look at the last word in verse 11. Chuck kind of left that for me last week as he covered the verses prior to that. But if you look at the last word in verse 11, the word is joy. If we read verse 11, may you be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. This is the last result of true spiritual knowledge that Paul lists here. Joy. Joyous endurance of trials. It's another flow of the Spirit in our life, isn't it? What gives us the ability to endure trials? Isn't it not the Holy Spirit flowing through us? Because we don't have to be happy during those trials. We just have to be joyous because we have the answer that lives inside us. It gives us better understanding of what He's doing in our life. We can be joyous because we know He's in control of it. If you look at those two words prior to joy, endurance and patience, these two words are closely related. Endurance means steadfastness, and it comes from the word hupomone, the Greek word, and it refers to being patient in circumstances. So in the circumstances of life, be patient. Endure those circumstances. The second word, macrothumia, patience, refers to being patient with people. Some of us are pretty good with circumstances and some of us are good with people, but we're probably not all good with both, huh? So we need to work on that. We need to allow the Holy Spirit as those trials come into our life, whether it be through circumstances or through people, we allow the Spirit of God to help us to react right, correctly, holy, okay? Paul isn't referring to a white-knuckle type of endurance here. He's talking about endurance that has strength provided by God's Word. That's where we have to draw our strength from if we're going to react like the Holy Spirit is flowing through us. The strength allows the believer to endure trials with joy. And what does that look like? Your reactions look like the Spirit of God is flowing through you. It shouldn't be confused with some other spirit flowing in you. So godly reactions to trials and disappointments, what does that really look like? Okay, we all have them, and if you haven't had them, you're going to have them. All right? It's not a question of if you're going to have these things, because we all do. But the thing is we have to have God's perspective. I don't know why that circumstance happened. I don't know why that person in your life is treating you that. I don't know why. But remember, a few weeks ago, I said, look at verses and look and see what is in them for God, not what's in them for you. Okay? It's God's perspective we're looking for. That's what He's looking for in us. Eternal versus a temporal response. Because our temporal responses oftentimes are not what they should be. That's why we have to be patient and endure and then respond the way God would ask us to respond. Joy versus happiness. I think that's the first line on your notes there. Happiness is this. My life is good, so I feel good. We've talked a lot about feelings and emotions, right? We never trust our feelings and emotions, all right? Look what joy is, though. Joy is this. Christ is good, so I can be grateful even when life is hard. There's a big difference between those two things. Don't catch yourself trying to be happy all the time. Okay, there's nothing wrong with being happy. I like to be happy. okay? But be joyous all the time. And the only way that can happen is if we allow the Spirit of God to flow through us. Let's move on to today's passage. If you'll put that up on the screen, Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 through 13. Let's stand together and let's read this. I know a lot of you like to stand, and that's in honor of God and His Word. So let's read Colossians 1, 12 through 14. Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Thank you. You can be seated. Before we get to these particular verses, I want to address just being thankful toward one another and our circumstances. When do you find yourself being thankful to God? Probably when something went exactly the way you hoped it would go. Probably if something really good happened in your life. That's easy, isn't it? Oftentimes I think we forget to thank Him, though, when those good things happen. You know, a lot of times in life we have ideas of what we want to happen. We want it to happen so bad this way because we see that, man, it would be so fun, it would be so great if it happened this way. You know, I used to coach a lot, and a lot of other circumstances in life, you know, you get a ball game and you get a bad call, okay? And I've seen, as a spectator these days, you see how fans react to the call. They don't actually see what actually happened, right? They think they saw what they wanted to happen, and when it didn't happen, then everybody went crazy, okay? And in reality, what they wanted to happen didn't happen, so it changed everything, right? Does that make sense? Okay? We want things to happen a certain way. And so this is often determined by how we thank God. It's the result of a situation, how something makes us feel, or maybe even has a long-term effect on us personally, as well as many other possibilities. Giving thanks or being grateful, those two words are closely related. Appreciate Chuck showing me that this week, that grateful and thankful are very closely related. They're almost synonymous with each other. But one of the characteristics that flow through the Holy Spirit in our lives, being thankful, being grateful, that's a flow of the Holy Spirit in our life. Our response to every situation can really be evaluated by whether or not that response was Holy Spirit driven or flesh driven. There's your evaluation. And you can tell. Don't tell me that when you get done with your response, if it was good, that you don't go, hey, I don't know where that came from, but that was pretty good. But if you go the other way, you're like, ooh, I know where that came from. Lord, forgive me, because I didn't respond the right way. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, so much in this verse, we could spend a whole teaching time on this one verse. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, giving thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You want to know what the will of God is? There it is. He's not hiding it from you. That's it. And notice He says in one or two circumstances every week. He says all of them, doesn't He? He's very aware of what's going on in your life, and He's aware of all of the circumstances all of the time. Sometimes we feel like we have to remind Him, hey, this is what's going on, and we don't have to do that. He already knows. Did you know that thanklessness is a trait of unbelievers? Thanklessness is a trait of unbelievers. Romans 1:21, if you want to look that up. As believers, we need to get in the habit of saying thank you to our Heavenly Father in all circumstances. Why is that? Because He said to. He is sovereign. He is working everything together to advance His kingdom. Not your kingdom, His kingdom. the circumstances you may be in, you may not be too excited about. But he might be, because it's the one thing that's going to bring somebody to Christ. I really appreciate Chuck's prayer for Brandy. As Brandy's going for surgery, you know, hey, it might be a nurse, a doctor. It might be somebody that needs Jesus. And the only reason she's having the surgery is so that that person might know and come to know him as Lord and Savior. Maybe somebody needs a word of encouragement. Maybe somebody needs something that only Brandy can say to them, that that's why she's in that position. But we do pray that it goes well, Brandy. The only thing standing in the way of someone coming to Christ may be her response or your response in the circumstance that you're in. It's hard to be thankful to your Father, but you must. And it's difficult in times like these. No direction, thankful. No protection, thankful. Went bad, thankful. Tragedy, thankful. Brokenhearted, thankful. Disappointed, thankful. No money, thankful. All kinds of problems, thankful. And then you have times like these. Direction, thankful. Protection, thankful. Went good, thankful. Unexpectedly great, thankful. No problems, thankful. Salvation, thankful. Sanctification, thankful. And just plain old thankful. Someone once said, it's not happy people that are thankful, it's thankful people who are happy. Let's get to today's verses. That was a long introduction. The title of today's sermon, Eternally Thankful. Get over here where I can see my... These verses will really penetrate your heart if you spend time with them. They have very much penetrated my heart this week as we looked at what he has done for us. If this can't make you thankful, I don't know. You're going to have to go somewhere else, I think. Verse 12, the first part of it, giving thanks to God, to the Father, who has qualified you. Paul brings us back to the beginning of our lives with Christ and what happened so that we would be thankful to God. Thankful to the Father, for without him, you and I had no desire for God. Think about this. First blank there, next blank there. God was our judge before salvation. Now we call him Father. He adopted us as sons and daughters. Not only has he, your next blank, adopted us, but he has qualified us. That's incredible. That is absolutely incredible. The word qualified in the Greek is hikanu. It means to make sufficient, to empower, to authorize, to make fit. How many of you watched the Olympics the last couple of weeks ago? As I looked at this and the qualifications, I was thinking about those Olympic athletes who've literally spent their lives trying to be good at something, an event. They get to the Olympic Games, and what do you have to do in a lot of those events in order to get to the medal round? You got to qualify, don't you? And think about that. They've spent their whole lives trying to qualify to get the prize. And what has God done for you and I? We don't have to do any of that. We're not working up to, okay, we've been doing this for 12, 13, 14 years. I'm going to church. I'm getting everything all in line. Everything's going to happen the way I want it to. And then he qualifies us. That's not the way it happens. Okay? He qualified us. We're going to talk more about that. You know, those athletes, I mean, I just can't imagine some of them, and it happened in the Winter Olympics, you know, they fall or they get hurt, after all those years and years, and they don't ever get to have an opportunity to compete for the prize. How disappointing. The Father qualified us according to this verse. We couldn't do anything without Him because our sin had kept us from His kingdom. Our sin is the thing that He took care of so that we would qualify for His kingdom. It doesn't say giving thanks that you finally got your act together. It said, go over to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. I want to read those for you. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. And we were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. That's who we were. Verse 12, skip down to there. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Wow. Yes. Go over to Ephesians, skip on down to chapter 4, verses 17 through 19. Now this I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. By His grace, He qualified you if you're a believer today. That's the only way. By His grace, He qualified you. He started that flow of the Holy Spirit inside you, believer. Christianity's the only religion where you get the inheritance without being qualified. And the only one who was qualified died in your place. Let's read on in verse 12. He has qualified you for what? To share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Most of us know what an inheritance is. It's something that your parents would give you at some point, or maybe your grandparents. But inheritance is typically for children, okay? It's not for hired hands, typically. It comes, in this case, from the Father. And where is it? It's in light. What does it contain? What does this inheritance contain for you that have passed from death to life in Jesus? Number one, eternal life. A quality of life that's in Jesus' life lived out in the believer. It's not just eternal life, because that begins at salvation. Okay, your eternal life's already begun. You've already got it. And so you not only get that eternal life, but you get that quality of life that's lived out with Jesus here, the Holy Spirit living in you. That's a quality of life that unbelievers can't experience. They don't have that guidance, that direction. 1 John 5:12, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Man, it's easy to get caught up now, isn't it? The second thing it includes, your inheritance, it includes the earth. We won't read this, but go over to Matthew 5:5, and then it talks about us, the inheritance of the earth. And then also in Revelation 20, verse 6, when we rule with Him in the millennial kingdom. Okay, that's part of our inheritance. It's guaranteed for you. And then thirdly, the promises of God, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12, so that you may not be sluggish, be imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So So believer, as the Holy Spirit is flowing through you, this is the kind of life that you should live. This inherited life. Act like you own it. Act like it's yours. He gave it to you. Be thankful. Be thankful in it. According to the Greek word for inheritance, which is hikanosanti, we've already obtained it. Today, if you believe, you've received Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's yours. I wrote this down, and Brandon covered it in Sunday school, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. What an inheritance. And he says that this inheritance is ours in light, which means it's morally pure, spiritually glorious, and eternally secure. I found this, that light represents two things biblically. On your sheet there, intellectually, it represents truth. Psalms 119, 130, the unfolding of your word gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. It's so neat to see new believers come to Christ and they absorb that word of God, and they often apologize for it being, well, I don't really understand all of that, but that sounds really good. Well, that's the simple, isn't it? We don't have to know every little detail about everything, but man, whenever he says something like this, hey, that sounds good to me. You know, I'm a pretty simple guy. Secondly, morally, it represents purity. We won't read that whole passage there in Ephesians 5, verses 8 through 14. You can do that later. But God has given us a guarantee of our inheritance. The Holy Spirit is that guarantee. If you can live life and you don't feel that the Holy Spirit flowing through you, you may not be a believer. But that Holy Spirit, when you hear Him convict you, when you hear Him give you that ability to respond to joy in a good way, thank Him for that, because that's your guarantee that He lives in you. You're His. He wants you to experience that guarantee. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14 and verse 18. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory. Thirdly, verse 13, He's delivered us from the domain of darkness. The second thing we should be thankful for here is spiritual liberation. John 8, 36, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. What a great verse. What were we? We were captives in a kingdom of darkness, fully owned by the kingdom of darkness. We were dead at the bottom of the ocean. We were under a ruler we could not overthrow. We were blinded by Satan, dead in our trespasses and sins. I want to remind you of this. You didn't escape. You didn't negotiate your release. The Bible says here, He did what? He delivered you. Delivered is a word that implies power. It's divine intervention, a rescue you did not initiate. Fourthly, verse 13 and 14, and transformed us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. The last thing Paul lists as something to be thankful for is your transfer. Think about this again. You were under one ruler, the enemy, and you were moved to another ruler, the king. You were in one kingdom, headed for hell, separated from God, and now you're in another kingdom of heaven, and it's eternally guaranteed yours today, if you're His. It didn't happen gradually. It didn't happen eventually. But decisively, he transferred you from darkness into light. Condemned to redeemed. Hell to heaven instantly. No questions asked. Think about the responsibility, though, that goes with that transfer, believer. He gave you everything you need to live a godly life. As Chuck reminded us last week, that's the Holy Spirit. That's all we need. We just have to let Him flow. Don't stop the flow. Don't let your flesh get involved. Don't become the decision maker. Let Him decide. Let Him allow that Spirit to flow through you that you might get the response that He's asking from you all the time. You no longer represent yourself. Your next blank there is, you represent the King. You must represent Him properly. Hebrews 12:28 says, "Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe." This is the Holy Spirit living and flowing through the believer, producing the righteousness of God. The Spirit changes us through sanctification as we allow Him to. So don't quench that Spirit. Allow the flesh, don't quench the Spirit and allow the flesh to hinder what the Spirit of God is doing in your life. Be thankful. It's a godly characteristic. Lastly, He tells us where we've been transferred to the kingdom of His beloved Son, Philippians 3:20. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been transferred to the place of pure holiness, where God is, where Jesus is, and heaven when we die. Isn't that awesome? He transferred you. You don't have to worry about it anymore. And that's the kind of place that we're headed to when we die. R.C. Sproul said this, "The only reason any Christian is in the kingdom of God is because God invaded the kingdom of darkness and carried them out, kicking and screaming by sovereign grace." I thought about an example, but I wasn't sure it was a good one. But you know, when you take your kids to grandma and grandpa's, they get everything they want. They have everything they want. They get things that they didn't even know they wanted that they want. And you come and get them, and what happens? Kicking and screaming all the way home. It's kind of the way it was whenever God took us out of darkness into light. In conclusion, and don't forget to be thankful for Jesus, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sin. Redemption comes from the Greek word apolytrosis, a blessed aspect of the work of Christ on our behalf. It means to deliver by payment of a ransom and was used to speak of freeing slaves from bondage. That's what He did for you. Redemption is a purchase. My first sermon I ever preached here, you are not your own. You were bought with a price. Redemption results in the forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness, or ephesian, refers to pardon or remission of penalty. Notice what God does for us. Psalm 103, verse 12. "As far as the east is from the west, so far does He remove our transgressions from us." Never to be remembered. Do you know He can't remember them? He didn't want to. We remember ours a lot, don't we? And we beat ourselves up many times because we remember what we did and we're so sorry. Don't do that. He doesn't remember them. Don't bring up something He's already forgotten. Micah 7:19, "He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all of our sins into the depths of the sea." Forgiveness is not God pretending you didn't sin. Forgiveness is God satisfying His justice through the atoning work of his son. Well, today he qualified you. He gave you an inheritance. He delivered you. He transferred you. And he redeemed and forgave you of your sin. Can we be eternally thankful for that? As we close our time together, we're going to be partaking of the Lord's Supper. And if our deacons would go ahead and come forward. And as Andy said, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, he's your Lord and Savior, please feel free to take of the elements with us. And maybe there's some that are new believers here today, and you don't really even know what the Lord's Supper is. And this is an ordinance that he's asked us to observe. He commanded us to remember what he did for us. And as we celebrate today our redemption and our forgiveness of sin, we want to remember what Christ did for us. Jesus commanded us to do it, and let's do it today with a heart of thanksgiving. That's what he's calling us to here in Colossians, is with a heart of thanksgiving, be thankful for what he has done for you. You couldn't control it. He did it for you.